Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What does Mormonism teach regarding the creation? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to help answer that question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are looking at Chapter 5 in a church manual titled Gospel Principles, the 2009 edition. It is a book that is touted by the church as containing doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If that be the case, we want to know what the church leadership wants its members to believe. So we are going through this book chapter by chapter, and you've probably noticed so far that we're not going into an exhaustive detail. We just want to hit it very quickly, get in, get out, one show per chapter, and just talk briefly about what the book is actually saying, and then supplementing some of the comments in the book with supplemental material that tends to explain what the manual is saying in a little bit more detail. Chapter 5 is called The Creation.
It starts out under God's plan for us and says, "When we lived as spirit children with our heavenly parents, our heavenly Father told us about his plan for us to become more like him. We shouted for joy when we heard his plan." And then it has, in parentheses, see Job 38:7. Now, Bill, this is one of the rare times so far. We haven't seen many biblical references to their main points, but here we have Job 38:7, and it's not the first time it's been used. It's been used previously in the first four chapters. This is one of those cases where context makes all the difference in the world. And whenever you get a verse given to you out of the Bible to support a major teaching, you have to ask, what is the context? And in the context, this clearly shows that this is not what it is, what the Mormons are making it out to be. Because if you look at Job 38, verse 4, God is questioning Job there, and he rebukes him for his pride when he asks the question, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Now, that's called a rhetorical question. When God formed the world, Job 38:7 says, "The sons of God shouted for joy." That's the verse that they're using here. If that somehow is really referring to pre-existent spirits, as it's being claimed here, then Job must have been there as well. But the whole point of the questions that God gives compels Job to answer that they are unanswerable, since Job was not there in the beginning. It's the same situation with Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, where the situation is God was there, and God knows who Job would be. "Before you were knitted in the womb, I knew you." But there's no evidence here in Job or in Jeremiah to say that somehow Job was there and that he somehow knew God.
In that same chapter, we notice that twice it talks about a Mormon becoming like Heavenly Father in that reference that points to Job, become more like him. And then later on in the paragraph, it says we needed another place to live where we could prepare to become like him. What does that really mean in the context of Mormonism, to become like God? According to 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith in his book Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 48, and this citation is also found in Achieving a Celestial Marriage Student Manual, 1976, page 132. This is what Joseph Fielding Smith said, the 10th president. "The Father has promised us that through our faithfulness we shall be blessed with the fullness of his kingdom. In other words, we will have the privilege of becoming like him. To become like him, we must have all the powers of Godhood. Thus a man and his wife, when glorified, will have spirit children who eventually will go on an earth like this one we are on and pass through the same kind of experiences, being subject to mortal conditions. And if faithful, then they also will receive the fullness of exaltation and partake of the same blessings. There is no end to this development. It will go on forever. We will become gods and have jurisdiction over worlds, and these worlds will be peopled by our own offspring." I have had many Latter-day Saints argue, well, we don't get worlds, we don't get planets, we don't get Earth. That's not what Joseph Fielding Smith said, and I don't think Joseph Fielding Smith is speaking independently of other leaders, because we know that other leaders have said exactly that. The point is that the Mormons believe that they are repeating a process that has been going on since eternity past. And so if that be the case, we have to assume that their heavenly father, the one they call Elohim, also repeated that same pattern that went on before his existence as God. Because remember, the God of Mormonism was not eternally God. He's an eternal being, just as all humans are eternal beings in the context of Mormonism. But he became God at a particular point in time.
Now, we must remember that this manual is meant for newer members. And yet, here we are in Chapter 5, we haven't even gotten out of the creation yet, and there is inference made again to what you can become. Now, in Chapter 47, the final chapter of this book, they're going to do a big crescendo, and it's going to be on exaltation. But I think they're purposely putting these little markers in here throughout, so when you get to Chapter 47, it's not going to be a surprise. You already have an idea of where this is going.
So there's probably a good reason why we don't find the citation from Joseph Fielding Smith that I just gave in Chapter 5.
Well, that's going to be confusing for people who come from a Christian background, because that's not normal. That's not taught in a Christian church. And so for that to be in there would be a sign of, I'm not going to keep going on this book.
Well, I think you're right, because as a Christian, when I hear the phrase becoming more like him, we look at it as a part of our sanctification. We are trying to be holy and do our best at holiness like our Heavenly Father is holy. We don't look at it as becoming a god, but clearly Joseph Fielding Smith does make that connection. Then it talks about Jesus creating the earth.
It says, Jesus Christ created this world and everything in it. He also created many other worlds. He did so through the power of the priesthood, under the direction of our Heavenly Father.
Notice that phrase, through the power of the priesthood. Priesthood is everything in Mormonism, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that now because we will be covering that later on. But notice this, through the power of the priesthood. In Mormonism, this priesthood power, this priesthood authority actually precedes God the Father in Mormonism becoming a God. That's something that precedes him. They always point to this power of the priesthood, but I want to focus on the statement that says Jesus Christ created this world and everything in it. He also created many other worlds. Listen to this statement by Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church. He made this on October 8, 1859. It's found in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 333. He says, first of all, the people called Christians are shrouded in ignorance and read the scriptures with darkened understanding. Then a couple paragraphs down, he says, he is our Father, the Father of our spirits, and was once a man in mortal flesh, as we are, and is now an exalted being. How many gods there are, I do not know, but there never was a time when there were not gods and worlds. And when men were not passing through the same ordeals that we are now passing through, that course has been from all eternity, and it is and will be to all eternity. You cannot comprehend this, but when you can, it will be to you a matter of great consolation. It appears ridiculous to the world, Brigham Young says, under their darkened and erroneous traditions, that God has once been a finite being. Now, I said all that to bring you to another statement by Brigham Young, a quote that he made on July 10, 1879. It's in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 14, pages 72 and 73. But I really want to read the last part of it on page 73. And it goes along with what this manual says. Consequently, every earth has its redeemer, and every earth has its tempter. And every earth and the people thereof, in their turn and time, receive all that we receive and pass through all the ordeals that we are passing through. Are you getting the impact of that statement, folks? Every earth has its redeemer and every earth has its tempter. If Joseph Fielding Smith was telling the truth in that citation from Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 48 that I read earlier, When the Mormon gets his world and rules over that world, he is going to create spirit offspring. Now, we assume that the first spirit offspring, if he follows the pattern of this earth, would probably be the Redeemer. The fact is that another spirit child of theirs will have to be the Tempter. It has to work that way because, as we saw in a previous chapter, you have to have good and evil for the offspring to choose properly.
I don't think most Mormons have thought through this as you are explaining it.
Well, it's Brigham Young saying it. He was the second president of the church, and he did say on more than one occasion that he never taught anything that was not true. So if Mormons want to believe he was a true prophet of God, they're going to have to accept, I would suppose, what Brigham Young teaches on this. But really, when you think about it, what Brigham Young is teaching and what Joseph Fielding Smith is teaching, I think, is in perfect harmony within the context of Mormonism. It doesn't make sense biblically. We don't see any biblical justification for this, but certainly within the context of Mormonism, it seems to make sense, and that's probably why we do hear Mormons say, well, Mormonism does make sense. Well, in its own context, to a certain extent, it might. I think a lot of portions of Mormonism certainly do not make sense.
Page 24, I do want to make mention of these quotes. It says at the top of the page, the earth and everything on it were created spiritually before they were created physically. And then it goes on and says, under the direction of the Father, Christ formed and organized the earth.
You have to look very carefully at the words here. Under the direction of the Father, Christ formed and organized the earth.
This is ex materia creation, not ex nihilo, as what Christianity believes.
Yes, Mormon leaders and Mormon scholars have been very clear that the doctrines of the LDS Church do not support the idea that God can create out of nothing. He has to take the matter that has always existed, and as the manual says here on page 24, Christ goes and forms and organizes this matter into an earth. And everything on that earth was also something that had to be formed and organized. But it came from something that was already existing.
The Bible does not teach that Jesus just created the world, but rather that he created all things. John 1:3 is a great reference there, as well as Colossians 1:15 through 17. Good verses to look up on this issue.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.